Vekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Vekatra AI. Welcome back. Today we're doing a deep dive into, well, one of history's most seismic events, the French Revolution.
And we're looking at it through the eyes of William Doyle, a really respected historian on the subject.
Definitely. Our goal here isn't just, you know, dates and guillotines.
No, not at all. We want to dig into the sheer complexity of that decade, 1789 to 1799, and maybe challenge some of those simpler stories you might have heard.
Okay, so why focus on this? I mean, it was over 200 years ago. Why should you care now?
Because it's basically the blueprint for modern politics. Seriously.
How so?
Think about it. Nationalism as we know it, popular sovereignty, the idea that the people rule, that really takes shape here.
And even the terms left and right in politics.
Literally came from where people sat in the assembly hall. It's foundational stuff. Today's political fights. The echo of the argument started then.
And William Doyle is our guide. Tell us about him.
Right. So Doyle is professor emeritus at the University of Bristol. Decades of research, depth in the archives. He really knows this period inside out.
What makes his take so important, especially now?
Well, he's a key figure in what they call the revisionist school of thought.
Revisionist, meaning?
Meaning he pushes back against the older, maybe simpler Marxist view. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that saw it as just an inevitable class war, bourgeoisie versus aristocracy.
Ah, okay. So Doyle's looking past that ideology.
Exactly. He's all about the empirical evidence. What actually happened based on the sources, not what should have happened according to some theory.
So a more grounded perspective.
Very much so. He acknowledges the ideals of 1789, the calls for liberty, but he doesn't shy away from the chaos, the destruction that followed. It's about the messy reality.
Okay, let's get to his core argument then. What's the big takeaway from Doyle?
If there's one thing, it's that the revolution wasn't destined. It wasn't this single planned event.
More like unpredictable, chaotic.
Profoundly so. Contingent is the word he uses. Full of accidents, missteps.
So not driven by revolutionaries from the start.
That's the fascinating part. Doyle argues the real trigger wasn't some secret plot. It was the complete collapse of the old system, the ancient regime.
The old regime just imploded.
Pretty much. The monarchy was failing. Systemic problems, especially the massive debt from wars, it created this unexpected power vacuum.
It sounds like that Sorcerer's Apprentice story.
That's a great analogy. The people who stepped into that vacuum, the early revolutionaries, they unleashed these huge forces.
Like popular sovereignty, nationalism.
Right. Forces they thought they could manage, but, well, they couldn't control them in the end.
So Doyle's book is really about showing that complexity.
Yes. How it was progressive and destructive, high ideals, but also massive practical failures.
And the consequences, like the terror Napoleon, ended up being even more significant than the initial goals.
Exactly. The outcomes overshadow the origins in many ways.
All right, let's walk through the timeline a bit. Where does Doyle say it really begins? Not Bastille Day.
No, the fuse was lit much earlier. In the account books, basically.
Wow.
France was broke. Seriously broke.
Largely from funding the American Revolution.
Right? That was a huge part of it, yeah.
And King Louis XVI, what was his role?
Well, Doyle paints him as indecisive. Not necessarily bad, but just unable to make the tough calls.
He tried reforms, though? Finance ministers like Turgot, Necker?
He did. They all saw the problem.
Yeah.
You had to tax the privileged orders, the nobility, and clergy.
But they refused.
Absolutely. They clung to their tax exemptions, created total political gridlock.
Yeah.
The state was heading towards bankruptcy.
And that gridlock led to the Estates General.
Precisely. Louis was desperate for money. He had no choice but to call this old medieval assembly hadn't met since 1614.
Wow. So just calling it was a huge deal.
It turned a money problem into a fundamental political crisis. Mm-hmm. Suddenly the question was, who actually holds power in France?
And the structure of the Estates General was the problem. Three estates.
Clergy, nobility, and then everyone else, the third estate. And the third estate, representing most of the people, demanded fair representation, voting by head, not by order.
Which the king and the others refused.
Right. So the third estate walked out, went to a nearby tennis court.
The tennis court oath.
Exactly. Declared themselves the National Assembly, said sovereignty rests with the nation, not the king. That was the Revolutionary Act right there.
And the people in Paris backed them up almost immediately.
Yeah, the storming of the Bastille in July 89, symbolically massive, showed royal authority was collapsing.
And that led to the night of August 4th.
Mm-hmm. That incredible night when the assembly basically abolished the entire feudal system overnight. Privileges, exemptions gone, wild idealism.
But then came a major misstep, according to Doyle.
A huge one. The Civil Constitution of the Clergy in 1790.
What was that?
It was the assembly trying to bring the Catholic Church under state control, make priests swear loyalty to the new government.
Oh, I can see how that would cause problems.
Massive problems.
Yeah.
It deeply alienated millions of devout French people, especially in the countryside, created a huge internal division.
So instead of unity, they got counter-revolution.
Exactly. It fueled resistance, like the bloody uprising in the Vendée. Doyle really emphasizes this as a critical error, born from maybe ideological blindness to deep cultural roots.
They essentially created enemies within their own borders.
Pretty much. And then came the external threat.
War.
War with Austria and Prussia in April 1792. That changed everything, pushed things towards radicalism.
How so?
War breeds panic, paranoia, fear of internal enemies collaborating with foreign powers. That whole atmosphere
led directly to overthrowing the king.
Yes. The monarchy falls, the first French Republic is declared, and then the huge step, executing Louis XVI in January 1793.
Which brings us to the terror, 1793-94. How does Doyle interpret that? It wasn't just random violence.
His analysis is really nuanced here. Mm-hmm. He argues it wasn't just bloodlust, though there was plenty of that.
It was strategic.
In a brutal way, yes. It was an instrument of the wartime government, the Committee of Public Safety, Robespierre.
Trying to do what?
Trying desperately to unify the country, crush dissent, mobilize everything for the war effort against enemies both inside and outside France.
So ideology, the Republic of Virtue, provided the justification, but survival was the engine.
That's a good way to put it. Practical needs fueled by ideological fervor.
But that radical phase couldn't last.
No. Once the military situation improved, the justification for the terror started to crumble, and the revolutionaries turned on each other.
Robespierre's fall. Mm. 9, Thermidor.
Right. The end of the most radical period. Then you get the Directory from 95 to 99.
Which was?
Unstable. Corrupt. Increasingly reliant on the army to keep order.
Setting the stage for
Napoleon Bonaparte. Seizes power in a coup in 1799.
And Napoleon himself was a product of the revolution, wasn't he? Meritocracy in action.
Absolutely. Rose through talent, not birth. He's the ultimate example of that promise.
And what did he do with the revolution?
He basically consolidated it, ended the chaos,
mm-hmm.
kept the key social gains equality before the law. No noble privileges cemented them in the Napoleonic Code.
Which is still influential today.
Hugely.
But?
He ditched the political liberty part.
Traded freedom for order.
Essentially, yes. And after a decade of turmoil, many French people were, frankly, willing to make that trade.
Okay, let's pull back and look at the big themes Doyle stresses. What's the first key takeaway?
Number one is definitely contingency over destiny. It wasn't all mapped out. Accidents mattered. Miscalculations mattered.
Like the king trying to slee the flight to Varennes, a total disaster for him.
Exactly. Little things had huge unforeseen consequences. History is messy, you know. Not a neat script.
It reminds you how decisions today can spiral in ways you just don't expect.
For sure. Second theme, the fragility of stable systems.
Meaning the ancient regime looked permanent, but...
But it shattered. Why? Political inflexibility. Refusing to address real grievances, like the unfair taxes.
That feels like a very modern warning.
Totally. Ignoring deep structural problems, whether it's in a country or a company, is incredibly risky.
Mm.
Things can look stable right up until they break.
And the third theme?
Popular agency and elite tension. This wasn't just elites making decrees.
Ordinary people, the sans-culottes in Paris.
They were major players, pushing events, often forcing the leaders into more radical positions than they initially intended.
So you have to look at that interaction between the street and the assembly hall.
Absolutely. To understand big social changes, you need both perspectives. Who's mobilizing? What do they want? And how do they pressure the people in charge?
Doyle's writing has some really memorable lines, or at least core ideas. Can we highlight a few?
Yeah, definitely. Three stand out as capturing his perspective. First, the revolution was not made by revolutionaries. It was the collapse of an old order that created them.
So state failure came first. The revolutionaries filled the void.
Exactly. The collapse was the cause. The revolutionaries were the effect, in a way.
Okay, second idea.
The terror was not an aberration, but rather the logical extension of the revolution's central contradictions.
Logical extension. Meaning?
Meaning it grew naturally out of the situation. That intense pressure of war combined with the absolute demands of revolutionary ideology. It wasn't random. It was produced by the revolution's own impossible demands.
Wow. Okay. And the third one?
The true legacy is its profound contradiction. It bequeathed the world blueprints for both liberal democracy and modern totalitarianism.
Oh, the double-edged sword.
Precisely. The same tools, mass mobilization, state power, appeals to the popular will, could be used for liberation or for repression.
Yeah.
That tension is still with us.
So how can we use these insights? What are the real-life applications?
Well, one clear thing is about leadership during crisis. Look at Louis XVI versus Napoleon.
Indecisive versus decisive.
Right. Doyle shows how critical leadership style becomes when everything's falling apart. Indecision can be fatal. Pragmatism, even ruthless pragmatism like Napoleon's, can stabilize things.
You see that in business turnarounds too, right? The need for clear, sometimes tough choices.
Definitely. Second insight, order versus liberty. The fact that people welcomed Napoleon after the chaos.
Yeah, that's striking.
It tells us something fundamental about political psychology. Prolonged instability makes people crave order, even at the cost of freedom. It's a recurring pattern.
We see debates about security versus civil liberties today that echo that.
Constantly. And a third insight, maybe more structural, constitutional design.
How so?
France went through so many constitutions in that decade, trying to find a stable balance. Representation, rights, stability. It's incredibly hard.
It shows just how difficult building durable democratic institutions really is, especially during turbulent transitions.
Exactly. It's a lesson in the challenges, still relevant today.
So wrapping up, what's one final thought or surprising thing you took away from Doyle's perspective?
For me, it was the emphasis he puts on that split with the Catholic Church, the civil constitution. Just how fatal he thinks that error was.
More damaging than foreign armies, almost.
He makes a strong case. It shows how ideological certainty can make leaders completely misjudge deep-seated cultural realities. A real blind spot.
That's powerful. My final takeaway is maybe simpler, but it's how Doyle makes the complexity feel human. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a perfect plan gone wrong. It was improvisation, accidents, human drama.
Yeah, not a neat blueprint.
Right. And that encourages us to look at our own times with a bit more, I don't know, humility about predicting the future. Respect for the unpredictable.
Well said. History is a lesson in complexity, not certainty.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.